Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're talking about anxiety and natural treatment for anxiety. Before we get to specific supplements, let me just speak in some general terms about support for anxiety. We mentioned earlier lifestyle factors, moderate exercise, blood sugar control, the importance of hydration. Some patients have low blood pressure, and the low blood pressure makes them feel weak and dizzy, and they actually need some electrolytes too, some sodium to keep their blood pressure up. And therefore, we also look at the adrenals, because patients who are anxious often suffer from adrenal burnout, and this may render them more susceptible to the effects of stress. People who have good adrenals, they respond well to stress. People who have poor adrenals, they collapse in the face of stress. So things that support adrenals, rhodiola, ashwagandha, these are some of the important, even licorice if you have low blood pressure. These are some of the things that support adrenal function to give you some fortitude in the face of stress and anxiety. Another aspect of adrenals is DHEA. Dehydroepiandrosterone is made by both men and women. Men have twice or three times as much as women, but women have a fair amount too. And low levels of DHEA are sometimes associated with depression and anxiety. So supporting DHEA can give patients a little more emotional fortitude to deal with challenges. Same thing with testosterone. We have less options for testosterone prescribing in women, where there are side effects of hair loss, acne, skin problems, masculinization, hairiness. But in men, men who are low testosterone are often sort of anxious and grumpy and irritable. And testosterone sometimes restores their emotional fortitude. So let's look for that as an opportunity. A very important hormone in women, particularly at the time of menopause, who are anxious, they may have insomnia, sleep problems, generalized anxiety, is progesterone. Progesterone has a very calmative effect. It actually works in a way similar to benzodiazepine drugs. It works on GABA receptors in the brain, which are inhibitory neurotransmitters that tend to help you chill out. And progesterone is a key question that I ask women who've had children is, how did you feel during pregnancy? And many women say, oh, I felt so calm and relaxed. I really wish I'd known that, because I would have started to have kids earlier. I only had, two, but, I would have enjoyed having three or four, because I just felt great during pregnancy. But now I'm not feeling so good, and I go, well, maybe you're a candidate for either oral progesterone or some topical progesterone cream, which had really remarkably calmative effects. Can also be used with men. Sometimes we combine it with testosterone in a topical cream. It turns out that estrogen is more associated with anxiety, hence the word hysteria. Hysteria actually comes from the word hyster, or uterus, in Greek. And, I don't want to be stereotypical, but unfortunately, estrogen, to some extent, is a feel-good hormone for women, but it's also associated, when it's not balanced with progesterone, with excess emotional lability or hysteria. And, forgive the potentially sexist connotations of that, but it's just true physiology. Estrogen excess leads to unbridled emotionality. And progesterone has a bit of a balancing effect on that. So consider, hormones, they're part of that. Let's now look at some of the individual substances that can be helpful for anxiety. We'll start with amino acids. GABA, G-A-B-A, is often, or gamma aminobenzoic acid, is sometimes prescribed as a natural relaxant. Some of the formulas contain GABA, and I am not entirely sure that the evidence supports that. I think GABA, it makes sense to prescribe GABA, but the question is whether the GABA that you take by mouth actually gets to where it needs to go, to the brain, to the nerves. And so in a moment we'll talk about L-theanine, which is actually something that seems to promote GABA production. Progesterone, as I said, actually hits GABA receptors as well. Another amino acid that's popular is tryptophan. in the form of L-tryptophan or 5-hydroxytryptophan. Tryptophan seems to have a relaxing, calmative effect. It's sometimes used to promote sleep, and it works on the serotonin system that the SSRIs work on. So it is something that we can use on its own. It actually may have, for some people, appetite-containing effects, according to some studies, although that's inconsistent. And it is potentially helpful in anxiety disorders. I find it moderately helpful, but it's also variable, you know, how people respond to tryptophan. We sometimes combine tryptophan in along with tyrosine for patients with depression or anxiety in a syrup. The reason for that is that high doses of either tryptophan or tyrosine can be slightly nauseating, and by putting it into a ginger syrup, ginger has anti-nausea effects, and this is a syrup that we create by prescription with a compounding pharmacy. And for some patients, it is indeed very helpful, but you have to see a nutritionally oriented physician to obtain that because it's a prescription product. Let's talk next about magnesium, which is a marvelous natural anti-anxiety substance. There's a variety of articles, you know, if I pull up a Google search on magnesium anxiety, we come across articles like this. A synergistic effect of a daily supplement for 1 month of 200 milligrams of magnesium plus 50 milligrams of vitamin B6 for the relief of anxiety-related PMS. A association between magnesium intake and depression and anxiety in community-dwelling adults. Another one is magnesium attenuates post-traumatic depression and anxiety. And this one is a related one. Magnesium deficiency induces anxiety. In other words, deficiency induces anxiety. And on and on. There's quite a lot of literature about how magnesium acts to calm the nervous system. It actually has a stabilizing effect on heart rate, and it stabilizes nerve impulses. So magnesium, very important. And unfortunately, you get into a vicious cycle when you're subject to stress and anxiety. The production of cortisol and adrenaline causes your body to urinate out lots of your internal stores of magnesium. So say you're on a poor diet, you're eating lots of sugar, you're not getting a lot of natural sources of magnesium, you're very anxious, and you can get into a very serious state of magnesium deficiency, which will really, really exacerbate the anxiety. There's some evidence, though, that a form of magnesium called magnesium threonate is more able to penetrate the blood-brain barrier, begun to explore that. And that would be ideal for patients suffering from anxiety. But I've had a lot of success using good old-fashioned magnesium taurate or a product called Jigsaw Magnesium. These are other ways of getting magnesium into the body. Magnesium hydroxide, less bioavailable, and also magnesium citrate, good laxative, but not that bioavailable. We mentioned vitamin B6 in relationship to magnesium just now, and I have good experiences using a form of activated vitamin B6, which is called P5P, pyridoxal 5-phosphate, generally available as 50 milligrams. And this has variable effects, but can be something worth trying in patients who are anxious. I've noticed that some patients who are anxious, they're apprehensive about virtually every supplement they take. And so there's a lot of potential for backfire. Unfortunately, when people believe that something has a strong action and they have somewhat of a negative outlook, they're more likely to have a negative placebo effect or a nocebo effect than a positive placebo effect when they take something. So anxious patients are notorious for having backfire reactions to things that are supposed to work. Omega-3 fatty acids. Now, there's substantial literature that shows that omega-3 fatty acids are beneficial in depression, that they can curtail suicidality. It's a very profound form of depression. And so what about their action in anxiety? Well, there are many studies that confirm the benefits of omega-3 in anxiety. Here's one, Ohio State University Center for Clinical and Translational Sciences. A recent evaluation showed that consuming more fish oil and omega-3s reduced both anxiety and inflammation. That is published in the journal Brain Behavior and Immunity. The question is, which is more important, the DHA or the EPA? That is controversial. And it's also part and parcel of the action of EPA is that it forms part of the cell membrane, and it actually influences the conductivity of nerve impulses throughout the body. And thereby, you know, if you think of anxiety as kind of a form of a seizure, you know, it propagates kind of like a seed. It starts like in one part of the brain and then propagates to all parts of the brain and the body. And if you think of it as a seizure-like situation, then it's possible that EPA, by changing the conductivity of nerve impulses, sort of buffering that, or perhaps tempering that rapid propagation of exaggerated nerve impulses, that this could have a mood modulating effect and could put the brakes on anxiety responses. So, and I go high with EPA DHA. I recommend that patients with anxiety take as much as they can, perhaps 9 capsules of 1,000 milligram or 1,200 milligram fish oil that is pharmacological grade, rich in EPA, DHA. And I use a brand called Orthomega EPA, DHA. Among the most promising things for the treatment of anxiety is L-theanine. L-theanine is actually an amino acid that's found in high concentrations in green tea. The Brits drink tea and we drink coffee, although that's changing with the advent of Starbucks internationally. And the Brits look for something different from tea than we look for from coffee. We're like a go, 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 go culture. And the Brits, stay calm and carry on, that kind of ethic. And the Brits like their tea time in the afternoon, not necessarily because they're going to fall asleep and they need a jolt. They use tea to have a calmative effect. And tea, while it has caffeine, which helps to, focus and concentration and alertness, it also contains a high amount of theanine. And theanine has a calmative focusing effect. But you'd have to take an awful lot of tea to get a therapeutic dose of theanine. The L-theanine extract is equivalent to like one capsule, 500 milligrams, I'm sorry, 50 milligrams of theanine in a small capsule is equivalent to several cups of tea. Researchers have found that it changes brainwaves as measured on an electroencephalogram or EEG, promoting what are called alpha waves, which is the relaxed and alert state that is associated with meditation. So in addition to having a calmative effect, it's not going to make you drowsy. It actually sharpens mental focus. So that's a desirable effect. Now, I think virtually no other anti-anxiety agent has that desirable set of properties, that it doesn't gork you out, make you stupid. At the same time, it has a calmative and focusing effect. It can be helpful also for ADD in children as well as adults. And no known drug interactions. You can take 50 to 200 milligrams two or three times daily. And it's very helpful for many of my patients. So new research suggests that something called N-acetylcysteine, which is a potent antioxidant, can have beneficial effects on at least one manifestation of anxiety, which is obsessive-compulsive disorder. Actually, OCD is a separate disorder, but anxiety is a feature that triggers obsessive thoughts and behaviors, and addictive behaviors also. And to the extent that from a psychological model, you can look at anxiety as virtually an obsessive behavior or an addictive behavior that continues sort of a vicious cycle, N-acetylcysteine may have benefits. So researchers at Yale University are currently conducting trials looking at N-acetylcysteine in patients with OCD. You can take 600 milligrams two or three times daily, and that's generally well tolerated. A while back, I wrote a paper on inositol for treatment of anxiety, depression, and obsessive compulsive disorder. It's technically a B vitamin, and taken as a supplement, it's long been shown to reduce anxiety, panic, OCD, and to alleviate depression. It's sometimes recommended at modest doses, like, well, in a multi, it might be present at a dose of 500 milligrams or perhaps just 50 milligrams in a B50. That's not enough. You need to take substantial amounts of inositol. Studies show that for treatment of anxiety, you need to take anywhere from 8 to 12 grams of it a day. The good thing about it is that it's relatively cheap and it's relatively well tolerated. That much can sometimes cause bowel loosening, but it can be effective. I once made a supplement that's an effervescent form of inositol that was in a fizzy pack, and you would get 3 or 4 grams with each fizzy pack that would dissolve in water. But unfortunately, that product has been discontinued. But you can get powdered inositol at health food stores. Watch out, though, because sometimes they might suspect you're a drug addict if you buy lots of inositol, because inositol is sometimes used to cut heroin. It's a neutral substance that is put in those glassine envelopes with heroin. But it doesn't have a heroin-like effect. Another natural herb that is helpful for anxiety that's sometimes teamed with theanine is lemon balm from a plant called Melissa officinalis. Actually, it's a medicinal herb that's been used since Greek times to relieve insomnia and soothe agitation. And animal studies have actually produced impressive results regarding stress reduction. In one study, researchers gave low doses of lemon balm extract to mice, and they observed a decrease in anxiety-related behaviors when the animals were placed in challenging or unfamiliar environments. The use of lemon balm has resulted in studies. There was a study in 2004 documenting the effectiveness of a lozenge containing lemon balm to reduce anxiety. I think the research is fairly strong that lemon balm has a mild anti-anxiety, insomnia-relieving effect. It's not a powerful agent or a heavily sedating agent, but it has a mild effect, possibly best used in synergy with other things like L-theanine. Valerian is a product that's often used for anxiety. Valerian, contrary to popular belief, is not the natural source of Valium. So, you know, Valium and Valerian sound similar. Valerian is an herb that is popular as a insomnia-inducing, relaxing agent. But I find that it's a little too sedating, actually, for use in anxiety. That can be helpful sometimes if you really need to chill out. I find it's most helpful in sleep remedies. It also has a nasty odor, so that sometimes dissuades people from taking the tea or the capsules that exude a kind of a dirty sock smell. It's harmless, but sometimes people say, oh, my, these capsules have spoiled. But that's a natural property of valerian. There's also something called kava from the South Seas. And kava is really a relaxing herb, but its effect is almost kind of a stoner, mildly, I wouldn't say hallucinogenic, but something that can actually be associated with impaired motor skills. So there actually have been cases of people imbibing high doses of kava and being arrested for or being stopped for erratic driving. And therefore, I'm not that much of a fan of kava. Besides, patients with anxiety, they don't feel good when they feel this high or this mild euphoria that kava produces in normal individuals can be quite disconcerting in patients who have anxiety. So I'll mention one other innovative therapy that I'm beginning to explore in relationship to anxiety. There's a medication called D-cycloserine. It's actually an antibiotic that's used in the treatment, not uncommonly, of tuberculosis. And it turns out that new studies are suggesting that it is helpful against post-traumatic stress disorder. It can be used as an adjunct in cognitive behavioral therapy, in phobia desensitization. Generally, it is dosed in and around relaxation or cognitive behavioral therapy sessions to help the therapy work better. So I think this is a fascinating application of and an innovative application of a medication that's otherwise relatively harmless. I think we have to look on the horizon for more research on D-cycloserine, or DCS. It's spelled C-Y-C-L-O-S-E-R-I-N-E. And it is also, intriguingly, a big problem that a lot of people have is tinnitus, a ringing in the ears. And it's very aggravating and anxiety-producing. And anxiety, of course, exacerbates the effects of the tinnitus. And some studies are suggesting that D-cycloserine may have a tamping down effect on tinnitus, which is one of the most bothersome anxiety-producing syndromes that people can experience. So there you have, I think, a fairly comprehensive discussion of some of our natural strategies for dealing with anxiety. I definitely think there is a true potential for natural medicine to play at least a supporting role, if not completely fulfilling the need or supplanting the need for medication in the treatment of anxiety. Medication sometimes warranted. I'm not inalterably opposed to it, but all too often we go for the quick fix, and the quick fix sometimes doesn't work completely. So even if you're taking medications, you may want to explore some of these adjunctive therapies and increase the chances that your anxiety is reduced and or the possibility that you can successfully wean off medication. Thanks very much for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.